God is good. And all the time. And we also know that God has called us with three commands. For everyone who is in Christ Jesus has been told to love God, love others, and go. They are the commandments that Christ gave us. And those commandments hold fast to the Word, beginning to the end, Genesis to Revelation. All of the truth of God's love is wrapped up in it. And in that, as we love God, loving others, and going into the world, we work out our salvation, as we all well know, through progressive sanctification. We are sanctified in God, for He sees us at the end of time, but we are working it out now in real time. And that is the glory of our Lord in each and every one of our lives. We're going to learn a little bit about that today, because today we're actually teaching on that very thing, because that's where we are in the book of Mark today. So if you would, please open your scriptures. We're going to be in chapter 12. We're going to begin in verse 28, and we're going to read through 34. And this scripture is where we draw our meaning from as to who we are and what we do as a church. And thus saith the word of the Lord. One of the scribes came and heard them arguing and recognized that he had answered them well, asking him, "What commandment is the foremost of all?" And Jesus answered, "The foremost is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." And the scribe said to him, "Right, teacher, you have truly stated that he is one, and there is no one else besides him. And to love him with all your heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as himself, is much more than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he had answered intelligently, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." After that, no one ventured to ask him any more questions. As I look at these words, and from them, as I said, we get our missions and vision statement that we are to love God, love others, and go out into this world. And it's easy for us to say that, but it's not easy to be that. Because many of us look at our own lives and we say to ourselves, "I love God and I do love my neighbor," but how many of us are perfect? How many of us have it all together? Not one of us has it all together. So how can I show, here I am a broken person, here I am a person who's not quite right, here I am a person who gets things wrong, how can I do that? You do it to the ability by which God has given you. God does not expect you to be anything other than who you are today, not tomorrow, not at the end of time, today. And that is a reality that each and every one of us needs to understand, because I want you to look at the gentleman who gave this answer to Christ, and what did Christ respond to him? He said, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." Because it says here that he answered what? Intelligently. In other words, he had a head knowledge. Did he have a heart knowledge? No. You see, we've got to get the head and the heart right. God has to own the heart and give the thoughts. The understanding is his and the appropriation is his. And the appropriation is through faith. One of the things I want you all to understand is God accepts you where you are. You do not have to be anything other than what you are right now. You may be the greatest sinner of all time. Is that not what Paul said he was? And where did God meet him? On the road. In other words, as he was being himself, as he was going. And that's the third commandment, isn't it? As we are going, as we are walking, as we are living, God meets us where we are, and He accepts us where we are. And in that moment, Jesus takes away our sin when we accept Him. That's a head knowledge meeting a heart knowledge, because we've got to apply it to ourselves. It's not just good enough to know God loves you, is it, Noel? Nicole, I'm sorry. I'm thinking of, that's terrible, my daughter's name, my daughter-in-law. It's not enough to just know Him, is it? We need to love Him. And how do we do that? By getting involved. How did you know your husband? Did you just have words that you spoke to each other? Or did you go out on dates and begin to get to know this individual? And you figured, yeah, I can probably do this, right? It was through that interaction that a love relationship blossomed, didn't it? When you first got together, there was all kinds of stars and stuff in your eyes. Oh, he likes me. And he's like, it's worn off. Stars are all gone. Oh, my goodness. And it's all been replaced with reality, hasn't it? And you wouldn't do it any other way, would you? No. I remind my wife this year, 40 years, January 19th, 40 years. And I do. I can't believe it's 40 years. But then I think about how long the Lord's been chasing after me. And I think to myself, for Him, it just went like that. For me, it's a lifetime. And am I perfect yet? No. Does God care? Yes. But in the same token, no. What do I mean by that? God knows I'm in progress. God knows I'm working on it. You see, God doesn't want perfect people. If we were perfect, we wouldn't need God. We wouldn't have needed Jesus. God knows we need Him. God knows we need each other. And that's what loving God and loving others does. It brings us into a place of a relationship that can be worked out. Just like a marriage. That's why Christ, when we look at the Word tells us that the relationship that we have between our spouse is the closest relationship between us and God. Because is that not who we are? Are we not His bride? And this is a love relationship, and we're working on this thing. How many of you are still working on your love relationship with your spouse? For those of you who are married, yeah. For those of you who aren't married, you're working on a love relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's not easy, is it? That's why you're not married. I pay for that all the time, sis. Because the reality is God knows where we are. And He's going to enter in to where we enter in with Him. And as much as we pay homage to Him, to love Him, and I think this is amazing because He literally spells it out, that we are to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. In other words, what's He saying? You don't leave anything out. You don't leave anything out. How many of us have to learn that type of love when it comes to our relationships in the world? Because we will love someone in a certain manner, but we won't give them everything because can we trust them to take care of it? Can we trust them to be gentle with it? Can we trust them? Can we be vulnerable to them? Because you see, when we love God in such a manner, then He says to us, now love your neighbor as yourself. In other words, do you deprive yourself of anything of you? No, you do not. We feed ourselves, we clothe ourselves, we take care of ourselves, you know, we make sure we have finances, all the things that we need to do to survive, to move, to have our being. We take care of all that stuff. And that is how we're supposed to love others. We are to love others, giving unto them the way we would give unto ourselves. being unselfish people, actually being sacrificial in what we do. Is that not how Jesus loved? Did he not give himself to us to the point of death? And that's what he's talking about. And here this Pharisee is, he recognizes that, you know, oh, yes, there is no greater commandment, right? He says that, and I love this, that this commandment, these two commandments, is much more than all burnt offerings and sacrifices. And what did the Pharisees and the Sadducees love to do? Burnt offering and sacrifices, didn't they? Because if they did something, everybody thought they looked good, but Jesus is telling him right here, and he's agreeing with it and doesn't even know it, that I'm asking for something beyond that. Because those things you can do, this you need to be. Do you get the point? You and I need to be in love with God, and we need to be in love with our neighbors. Now, today, I had the excellent opportunity to prove that very point, and you all know it. The amount of help that you all sent down to North Carolina speaks of a heart of sacrificial giving. I want you to think about that. We live in a world that thinks of itself. How many selfies have been published on TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, whatever? We are a self-centered society. It is what we have become, because that's what the evil one has done to us. Because he knows if we get wrapped up in self, we're not going to love God and we're not going to love others. Because it's all about me. And God says, no, me has to go away. Me is the sacrifice. And what's the only thing any of us can actually give? Me. Because it's all you have. None of us have a job. You could lose your job tomorrow. None of us have a house. You could lose your house tomorrow. What's the only thing you have? It's you. If everything falls away, what's left? You. And that, Jesus says, now, give it to me. And do we trust him? Can we trust him? Well, the answer is yes. How do we know that? Because he gave himself for us. And he did it while we were yet sinners. While we were worthless, while we were filth, while we were in the gutter of life, Jesus died that we may become children of God. And now he's asking us, love him, love others. You don't have to die for me, but show others how much this love means to you. And in that, you will win others to him, because he is going to use you and I to reach out into this world, and that's the go part. It doesn't speak that here, does it? But that's what Jesus was doing right here. He was going, wasn't he? This was part of his going. And then at the end, after everything was done, after the price was paid, after it was finished, he was risen up, and boy, it's time for the kingdom. He says, no, no. Now I'm going away, and now you get to do what I've done. Because it is through you that I will save the many. Because God wants us involved in who he is. This past week, we had the opportunity as a church. We had two of our banquets that we go to. We went to the one is a pastor's banquet from Gideon's, and I truly appreciate the Gideon's for doing that. But my whole thing is, you know, we bring other folks, and so do the other churches, because this is a missions that we support that takes the word out into the world. And we've all heard the testimonies from the Gideons where somebody found that Bible somewhere, okay? And again, we were reminded of the Bible that was thrown up on the roof. And it was just so funny. Have any of you not heard that story? Okay. They were Gideons, and they were in a city, and they were handing out Bibles, and this one guy took a Bible, and he threw it up on the roof of the hospital. He said, "That's what I think of your Bible." And the Gideons were like, "What can we do?" So they just left. Later that week, they were back at the same hospital handing out Bibles, and this gentleman calls to him and comes down. He's covered in tar. Here he was up on the roof, and he was working on the roof, and he was ready to take his own life. And all of a sudden, the Bible lands up there. He says, "You have no idea. I can't believe you threw that Bible up to me." God knows what he's doing. Do we have the heart to be vulnerable enough to do and be what he's asking us? Because we don't know what the outcome's going to be. We know the outcome is going to be the salvation of our souls, but the reality is he's actually showing us how to bring other souls into the community, into the kingdom of God. For you are not far from the kingdom. All we have to do now is move into it. And that means accepting the Lord, our Savior, Jesus the Christ. And understanding, no matter where you are, I don't care what your past holds. How many of you can say right now that your past is a misery? I know I can. What God delivered me out of, I don't ever want to go back to. I do not ever want to go back to. And what he has brought me into, I'm going to tell you all right now, it made me turn white. But I would not give up one day of where he has brought me. The things he has shown me. The victories I've come through. The amount I've changed. I am no longer the same man I used to be. Can I get a praise Jesus on that one? Now, how many of you want me to keep changing? Say, praise Jesus. You betcha. My wife's probably singing that chorus over and over again. But I want you to think about yourselves. This past week, I had the opportunity to take the men of our church, and we went up to the mountains. We had probably the best. Well, let's put it this way. We didn't kill any deer. We didn't. Yeah, that was a wash. It was just too hot. But what we did do was fellowship and share. And I'm going to tell you right now, normally it would be a half hour, 45 minutes of sharing with our scripture that we share. We get a scripture, we read it all day long, and then in the evening we share that scripture and what God's done in our hearts. This past week, when we went, the 2 days, because we do it on Monday and Tuesday, because we're up Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Wednesday, we're coming home. Monday and Tuesday, it was an hour and a half and an hour and 15 minutes that we talked and just shared around the tables. And it was amazing what God was doing in the hearts of these men. And we had a couple of men there who were not part of our church, right, guys? And the amazing thing is, they want to come back. I wonder why. We didn't see any deer to kill. I mean, JB missed one, and I decided not to shoot one because it was wee big. And I wasn't into that. But the reality is we don't go up there hunting deer. Yes, we're there and we do hunt deer while we're there. But while we're there, we're hunting the Lord because he's hunting us. He's already found us. And we've got to give ourselves to him. And that's part of this, loving God, loving others, and going. We had our remote member, one of our remote members, join us. He was there every evening. He was there for 3 hours every evening. So don't think our remote members aren't connecting. They are. And I'm going to put this out to you folks out there. I haven't said anything about it. But if you are connecting with us, we have a remote membership we would love to have you connect with. We know you're part of us because you watch. But be part of us in reality. Remember, God looks at the heart and he says, is the commitment there? Are you committed to Christ? Then join our church. Become part of us. and we will become part of you. Amen? And to that, the kingdom expands. And I'm going to tell you right now, when we think about just who Jesus says he is here, when we understand he is the one who gave it all, that we could love God, love others, and go, all of a sudden we begin to realize this relationship was paid for a long, long, long time ago. Because I want you to think about this. For those of you who are married, how much has your relationship cost you? How much has your marriage cost you? If you're truly married, it's cost you everything. Because you've given yourself away to this other person and to the life that you're creating. Am I right? And that's what God asks for. And in return, he gives us life and life abundant. So today, as we wrap up, I want you to think about what it means to love God, love others, and go. You don't have to be perfect. You aren't perfect. And I'm glad you're not, because if you were, you couldn't be in this church. But because you know you're broken, and because you know that you have a place, that you have brothers and sisters that want to love you, and you want to love them, and together we want to move towards loving God and bringing others into this kingdom, you're in the right place. Because you're surrounded by a bunch of people who are messed up, broken, and trying to figure it out. Can I get an amen? And together we will see the face of God. But if you're perfect, you'll never see the face of God, because you have no reason to search him out. And no one is perfect. No, not one. For everyone has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So today, let us move into the love of God. Let us hold fast to the Word of God. Let us hold fast to being with Him, in Him, and by Him. Because when we are, we will truly love God, love others, and go. And where are we going, folks? I want you to think about that. Where are we going? Glory. We're going to glory. How many of you want to be there alone? I want that place to be so full that it's the biggest party. I mean, Mardi Gras has nothing on the day we will rejoice in Christ Jesus. Can I get an amen? Because in that, the rejoicing never ends. Pray with me. Father God, we come before you. We know what you have called us to do and who you've called us to be. And Lord God, I pray for every person out here on the internet now, and for anyone here who feels like they're backslidden and just needs to recapitulate unto you. That Lord God, they would move in their hearts and just call out. That's as easy as it is. Lord Jesus, I love you. Lord Jesus, forgive me. Lord Jesus, renew me. Lord Jesus, fill me. And make me thine. For that is the prayer of love and life. And in that we will find life, O Lord, that we may truly love you, love others, and go, and find the purpose to which we were created. Bless you, Father, for showing us the way. The way is Jesus the Christ. Thank you for giving us the truth. The truth is Jesus Christ. And thank you for giving us the life. For the life is Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray, and the church says, and amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can locate us on the web at theheartofchristchurch.com. There you will find many useful links to contact us or donate to our ministry, where it is our mission to love God, love others, and go.